there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas, viva.
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsoulimidis. I write The Cats Report in Greenspun Media Group's Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and all of the titles for GMG, including Vegas Magazine. Pick up Vegas Magazine now. There's a cover story about Penn and Teller I wrote. Sitting with me is the reliably vivacious Tricia McCrone. Tricia.
Who's here?
Shaken.
I'm here.
She's in the studio.
I'm in the studio. This is not a phoner. I am in the studio. I am off of my crutches after breaking my foot. Yes, so I'm off my crutches.
I have to dial 900 to reach you up there.
I know.
You always ask me what I'm wearing. I don't get. Is this a monetized thing? I don't understand.
You know, I got $275 per minute or whatever it is. So
wow,
it was.
Good.
I must be for that rate. I don't know if that's the rate.
Oh, $2.75.
Yes, there we go. Oh goodness! But I'm back in the studio and I'm excited and I am off crutches and I don't have the flu. And I'm back in Vegas, and I'm so excited to be back in Vegas. And I came back to basically Montana weather.
Yeah, I know.
What has been up with this freezingness?
It's the coldest it's been since I've lived here over an extended period.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
it's been
below
freezing 5-6 days in a row now.
On the Shenandoah, as it were, the fountains were frozen. It was pretty cool.
Frozen fountains
the
on the Shenandoah.
I know, and I didn't take a picture, but because it would have required me to hobble over there, and I wasn't in the mood.
It's funny. I was talking to my family about the weather. I was like, "Oh my God, it was 29 last night." My dad was telling me. It's 9 now, and we're under a blanket of snow. This is in Lava Hot Springs, Idaho.
Well, it was
so
it
all
was,
things being,
yeah.
being relative.
Well, it was funny because the Golden Globes were last week, and on the red carpet, everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, it's so freezing!" Which everyone's always sweating on the red mm-hmm. carpets. I would think that when you're in gowns, that would be a nice thing to not have to worry about, you know, sweating and your makeup coming down.
Yeah, so you don't account yeah. for that.
But people cold. Were, mm-hmm. People were. Everyone was like, "Oh my gosh!" And somebody, I think it was John Hamm. Ha ha ha! I wonder why I pay attention to everything he says. My eternal crush. So John Hamm was saying, you know, these people are complaining like, "Oh my gosh, it's 50 degrees." Like, I'm from New York. It's 50 degrees. That's mm-hmm. like a gorgeous day. So it just goes to show you how we get spoiled with our
weather. It's funny living in this climate for a period of time. You get very thin-blooded.
Yeah.
So, but I can tell you that, you know, and you've lived here, I think, longer than I have mm-hmm. lived here.
We've I remember had the when hottest, you came to the time.
We've had the hottest, we've had the greatest difference in temperature from a summer to a winter since I've been here. I mean, we were in the one teens during yeah. the summer, 115, yeah. 116. Then we turn around and we have to deal with below freezing.
Yeah.
So, you know, people who live in cold climates don't have to deal with the summer side
exactly.
of it. We pay the price in the summer. That's the deal for living here. You have 3 bad months and it's going to be, you know, between 100 and 115 for three months.
That's and then the we price get the... we pay for good entertainment.
That is a conscious price. I mean, I think I actually signed a piece of paper when I moved here that described it just that way.
That's the price you pay.
Contractual agreement.
Well, speaking of entertainment, look at that segue. You have a story that has been picked up by everybody across the country, which didn't actually, I don't think you meant it to be a story, which has to do with Holly Madison's dogs or doghouse
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, Holly, the backstory on this backstory is that I wrote a story about Holly. I wrote a cover story about
You've
Holly for Las Vegas Week. This is the second cover story for Las Vegas Weekly I've written about her. And as part of that story, she has a home in a gated community. At this speaking, she's closing escrow on it on this day. This week, she will have closed her and Pasquale Rotella, her boyfriend and soon-to-be fiancé. Baby daddy. Pasquale, the king of Electric Daisy Carnival and mass gatherings across the country. Very powerful guy. So I interviewed both of them at her house. And as we were talking, it was a very informal interview. We're in her kitchen and she's eating cereal. And,
as one does.
As one will do. Except with Holly, she eats cornflakes and Rice Chex in the same bowl. So, anyway, we're talking.
And that didn't make national news?
That made my story, though.
There you go. Okay.
So I
go
let
ahead,
it.
I'm sorry.
She's eating this bowl of cereal, and Holly does everything right-handed in her life, but I notice she's eating the cereal left-handed. She's spooning the cereal left-handed. I'm like, "Are you ambidextrous?" And I don't know about this. And she goes, "No, I just always have wanted to be ambidextrous, so I eat my cereal left-handed." Holly Madison.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Anyway, and I asked her why her and Pasquale are moving to near the Scotch 80s, near the old Las Vegas, and in Rancho Circle area, you know, near where like Oscar Goodman and a lot of other dignitaries lived down there. Jerry Lewis lives in that region. And I asked her why she would be moving from a house that's a beautiful gated home. It has plenty of room. And she went into this story about how the Homeowners Association is mad at her because she built an adult-sized doghouse and painted it pink, and it's in her backyard. And she went on this mini rant about the house. And it's in the backyard. It's next to her pool. And I'm like, you know, the Homeowners Association, she says, is out of line because the house actually is a temporary structure officially because it's sitting on pallets. It can be moved.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, it's just like getting on someone about their jungle gym.
Yeah.
And at which point I said, well, if they're upset with you and they're fining her now, they're threatening to fine her. And I said, I just use the fine as a little lease payment for her. And she goes, it's about $100 a month. And she goes, I'm not paying it. I just keep sending them nasty letters. So the long and short of this is this story went all over the country. And the Associated Press picked it up this week. People, Us Weekly, all these, entertainment websites and platforms and magazines have rerun the story in some version. And people in her neighborhood are going to be happy to know that she's planning on taking this house with her to her new house.
Yay!
So that's the story.
Wow. Look, you break the hard news, Cats.
This is like an outtake. You know how a band makes an album and then you have this stuff that you don't use?
Yeah.
This is the outtake. And it makes the top 40.
And also, really quick, I have to congratulate you because you have been nominated your stories for a Pulitzer.
What we're doing is we're putting up my stories for nomination for a Pulitzer Prize. Yeah.
Yes. Well, congratulations on that, but let's get to our show, our exciting show today.
Coming up next is a man you know from Jersey Boys, but he's doing a show that he is headlining himself, full of standards. It's going to be at Cabaret Jazz on February 4th. He will be here shortly. It's Travis Clore, so stick around. I know we will.
This is Jeff Lebo,
Devin May,
and Rob Marnell.
We're the Jersey Boys.
And you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
I hired you to investigate my wife.
Investigator for what?
For not minding your own business is for what? For having a big mouth is for what? For asking too many questions is for what? You better be careful following your example, Billy. I might have to hire someone to investigate you.
Yeah. You're good, man. I'll give you that. You got it all worked out, huh?
Perhaps that's why the people keep electing me.
That's Mark Wahlberg as private investigator Billy Taggart and Russell Crowe as the charismatic mayor of New York City in the new thriller Broken City. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Wahlberg's Billy Taggart is a former NYPD detective who stumbles into a grand conspiracy when he's hired to tail the potentially adulterous wife, played by Catherine Zeta-Jones, of the New York City mayor. The pedigreed actors in this movie coast through their one-dimensional parts, and the convoluted script gets less interesting as it goes along. I give Broken City 2 stars out of 5. Other movies opening this week include the French drama Rust and Bone, which was nominated for 2 Golden Globes, including Best Actress, for star Marion Cotillard. That's playing over at the Century Suncoast. There's also Mama, a horror movie produced by Guillermo del Toro and starring recent Oscar nominee Jessica Chastain, the star of Zero Dark Thirty, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's big new comeback vehicle, The Last Stand, in which he plays a small-town sheriff facing down a band of criminals.
Clarence, where's the fire coming from?
Behind you, roof next to the diner.
Cover me, guys.
Yes, sir!
As a look at what's new in theaters this week, pick up this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly for a spotlight on the local film scene, including profiles of up-and-coming filmmakers and lots more. And you can check out my reviews every week in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the man who portrays Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys at Paris, Las Vegas, a role he toggles with Graham Fenton.
But Toggles.
Toggles.
Wow.
But he's away from that production on February 4th at Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center. That's the little room there that we love so much. He's headlining his own show there on that date. Welcome back to Cats with a Dish, Travis Clower.
Thanks.
Yay! Woo! Thanks for having me, guys.
The studio audience goes wild.
Yes, we love Travis.
We love
he is
platonically.
One of our favorite
and Travis
guests.
Loves you.
And it's a love fest.
And we also, now I'm in love with Andy, Travis's baby girl.
She's a cutie.
Oh, my gosh. How old is she?
9 months.
She is so adorable.
She's a beautiful kid.
Just kicked my biological clock even higher in gear. She's so adorable. You have the most beautiful family.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Is Andy going to be a performer, do you think?
She has a good set of lungs on her right now, so I would imagine it probably is in the blood a little bit.
Good little choreography going with
her. Exactly. She doesn't crawl. Totally. She doesn't crawl. She has a time step.
She dances across the room.
She cries in Sherry. She's teething or she's auditioning.
It might be that key, actually. Her cry
probably.
Key
depends on who's singing, yeah.
Exactly.
We know you primarily, obviously, from the show, from Jersey Boys.
Yes.
And you do this, you do a lot of work away from the cast, away from the production. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what we're going to see on February 4th.
February 4th at Cabaret Jazz, 7 o'clock. It's going to be me and a six-piece band doing a show I call Setting the Standard, which is named after my CD.
Your CD?
Which we have right
here.
Yeah.
Holding it up for our radio audience.
It's a great little mix of classic jazz standard tunes that I love so much, and some modern stuff done with a bit of a jazz feel. So it's I kind of think of it as classic Vegas with a modern vibe.
Yeah. That's a good thing to be.
Yeah.
A lot of your contemporaries right now are going for that very description of what they do.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just stands the test of time, this kind of stuff, you know? And it's great music, and it's fun to sing, and it's fun to listen to. And it's going to be a really fun night. The band's going to be swinging. It's a lot of the players from Jersey Boys.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they play all around
town. Is Keith Thompson involved?
Keith is involved. He's my musical director. Right. And the horn section is my boys from the show, who also play with Celine.
Yeah.
So it's...
Let's name check those horn guys, because I think one or two of them are in Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns.
Yeah, totally. Dan Falcone.
Danny Falcone,
and
right.
Eric T. Waltz.
Yeah.
Sax and trumpet, so... Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be a great show with the swinging band, man.
They'll shake that place up.
That's
well.
Right, yeah. And that room is such a cool room, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be such a great vibe in there that night. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Is this something that you want to try to continue every month or every?
I would definitely like to get it going somewhere. It's something that I did before I was involved with Jersey Boys. I would play clubs. I did some cruise ship gigs with it, and so I'm kind of itching to do my own thing again. Not that I, am planning any time leaving Jersey Boys, because I still love that with all my heart. But it's always nice to, get out and spread your creative wings a little bit. Sometimes.
Yeah, at some point, Jersey Boys, you won't be in Jersey Boys.
Yeah, at some point, absolutely.
You can't be Frankie. Unless you are Frankie.
Can't do it
can't
forever.
You can't be Frankie forever.
That's right.
Frankie's the only one who can play thing into his
And this month,
70s.
This month marks my sixth year with the show.
Wow.
You opened it with the original cast, or you came in?
I came about 6 months after they opened here in Vegas.
Gotcha.
I was in New York on Broadway with the show for about a year and a half, and then I came here, and I've been here ever since 2008.
So, no, I mean, it kind of, I guess, begs the question that obviously Rick went and he left the role of Frankie a while back, and he went then and wanted to start up his own show.
Mm-hmm. Rick Fagno.
Rick Fagno. Yes, I should get more specific. So Rick
He's
Fagno
not in the
did that
class with
exactly.
A little
you know, Rick.
Simply Rick.
Simply Rick. So so Rick Fagno went and he did this, and it didn't. It didn't necessarily pan out. I mean, obviously, it's a very tough economy right now. I mean, it's a lot. Maybe if times were different, it would have been different. Was that kind of an example for you that maybe made you think twice about, I'm going to stay with Frankie as long as
No, the reason I stay with Frankie is I highlight that my artistic decisions with financial motives behind them, try not to. I always said that I would stop doing Jersey Boys when I didn't have a good time with it and that I didn't enjoy it. And that day just hasn't come yet, because I love it with all my heart, and it's just fun music. It's the role of a lifetime, and
well, you're incredible in it.
Thanks, I just have an amazing time doing it. And this is merely something, like I said, just to get out and stretch the creative wings a little bit, to share a little bit more of myself with Las Vegas, because Vegas has been so great to me and my family, and it's just an opportunity to give back and you know, give a little bit more to mm-hmm. Las Vegas when I'm not on stage with Jersey Boys.
I've asked this of others who have been in the cast over the course of the run in Las Vegas, who have wanted to do things away from the cast. Mm-hmm. Eric Bergen did a lot of mm-hmm. work here. He will be back.
Yeah, he's actually staying with me when he comes to
town.
Oh,
really?
Wait, I didn't know he was coming back.
Not to the show, not to Jersey Boys, but he's in Anything Goes.
Anything
in
Goes.
A touring company
with Joyce Chittick.
He'll
so
actually
excited.
He'll be here for the show
the
on
showcase.
The 4th. Yeah.
Well, he'll
Wonderful.
Yeah, okay, he'll be in
yeah. he'll be at
show.
The show, yeah.
And he's going to be in the composer showcase. And Eric was very busy outside the cast,
yes.
And as you have been. Mm-hmm. And you know, Keith obviously does a lot of work outside mm-hmm. the scope of the show. How do you have the conversation with the producers who are paying you to be Frankie Valli?
Well, first and foremost,
to do this?
While we're in the show, first and foremost, our responsibility is of course with Jersey Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of why we're doing this interview probably a little bit before we normally would, because I have some other commitments that I have to honor with Jersey Boys later this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to keep that in check, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. You know, as long as we don't step on their toes, as long as our performance isn't affected in any way, we don't miss any time off, we don't miss any rehearsals that are called, we don't miss any press events like that. You know, they're like anybody else. You know, on your free time, you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on the clock, you're on the clock.
And you're mm-hmm. giving 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
Does this
and that's what I do every night. So.
Would it preclude, and I don't think you would go in this direction necessarily anyway, but it does your affiliation with the show preclude you on a show like this doing Four Seasons numbers?
Or it does, actually. It's actually in our contract. We can do other Four Seasons songs. We can't do any songs from Jersey
show.
Boys. Yeah.
So you can do a deep cutoff.
I could, yeah.
The
could
B-side.
The B-side.
The triple B-side.
And there's some good ones, though, man.
I'll bet there are.
That would be fun just to throw in, just
totally.
To do it. The triple B's.
I would love that.
Yeah, they have his contract.
I don't know
you
what
know,
it
if
would
you,
be.
If you want to hear songs from Jersey Boys, you got to come to Jersey Boys to hear them.
Yeah, exactly. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. On the album, you've got a wide mix of material. You've got Fever
yes.
on there. You got My
We're doing
Love,
that
McCartney
Monday night.
Song.
Yeah.
Is that going to be part of
I
it?
I love that
My
song.
Love is not. I'm doing Fever. on that album, I'm doing the first track, I'm Beginning to See the Light.
Right.
Fever, In the Still of the Night, and I think one other that's escaping my mind right now.
So are you doing that In the Still of the Night, like the high...
No.
It's
actually no.
It
it's the actually the Cole Porter in the
oh,
Still of the
gotcha.
Night.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So
oh.
nice.
Oh,
nice
yeah,
and slow.
Under there. Nice
beautiful
and slow.
Song. Mm-hmm. Hauntingly beautiful song. And
you write a lot of or you have written
yes.
Original music also.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've done that at the showcase.
Yeah, sure. Have.
Any of that?
No original here? Stuff this time around.
Okay.
It's kind of hard sometimes to introduce original music, you know.
After Cole Porter. Goes.
Yeah, exactly.
McCartney.
Exactly.
I see.
So, but that's definitely going to be something that's in the mix for sure for mm-hmm. future events.
Tell me about, you mentioned cruise ships.
Yeah.
Tell me a cruise ship story. I talked to a lot of entertainers who've done the cruise ship
Man,
spade.
I've got a whole closet full of cruise
ship stories. When's the last time
you
were out there?
The last time I performed was about a year ago when we moved from Palazzo to Paris with Jersey Boys.
Oh, you had a little break.
We had about 2 months off, so I went and did a gig and had a little vacation while I was out there. So,
where did you go? Where did this cruise ship
This cruise, where did I go? I think I flew out of somewhere in Florida and just hit the Northern Caribbean and did my show. And it's fun, you know. You've got a great crowd on there that's looking for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great time every time I go on the ships.
But in a way, aren't you... these are the things about cruise ships that kind of freak me out a little bit. Besides the Concordia or whatever that was.
I've never been on one.
Oh, God.
Yeah, was
you
this
go,
Oasis?
Yeah. You
I've
go.
Been invited to go on and do a tour with an entertainer
they're,
on the Oasis.
It's so peaceful out there in the middle of the ocean.
Well,
it's just great.
Two things, though, that are crazy about cruise ships to me is the amount of weight that you can gain because it's just giant vats
eating,
of food out 24/7.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. But second, I would think as an entertainer, you are a captive. That
if
like they see you in the show, there you just can't go out. I'm just going to go with the Love Boat to the Lido deck. You know, everything with the cruise ship has to come back
Doc.
To the Love Boat.
What are you doing here, Gopher?
There's exactly. Doc hitting on my wife.
Being Julie McCoy of this situation.
Well, that's when you just go incognito. You know, you put your shades on, you put a hat on.
But
and
can you be that incognito? I mean, because people
I'm
are
very
you know,
good at being
okay.
incognito.
All right, so
if I don't want to be noticed, I'm I'm not even here right now. You can't even see me right now.
Who are you? Where's our guest? But no, I would think those would be the two difficult things as a performer, because obviously, you know, everyone is very vain, especially if you're on stage. You know, I'm not on stage and I'm very vain, but that, you know, you don't want to have to. It's very. I went on one cruise ship and I literally just gained because all you have so much free time. It's not like you can do that much, and it's very crowded, and so you eat.
Well, when you're working out there, you kind of. You know,
you're professional,
you have discipline.
Unlike myself,
you actually go to the gym and walk around the Lido deck.
There's
instead
a gym.
Of just
There's
saying
a gym.
A word.
And you see Isaac there, drinking the smoothie bar. I got to do this. You're listening to Cats at the Dish, John Katzelmitas, and the ever vivacious Trisha McCrone with Travis Clore of Jersey Boys. He's at Cabaret Jazz on February 4th, a 7 p.m. show where he's going to be singing standards and. Out of his role in Jersey Boys. How's the show doing, Travis? I hear various things about the move over to Paris, Las Vegas, and how it's played out there. You had to adjust a little bit to account for the different staging. How is it now that you've had a little bit of
it's great. Time there? It's great. We were in rehearsal for, gosh, I want to say almost 6 weeks restaging. Mm-hmm. We didn't restage in the classical, like change the show. The show's the same. We basically just adjusted it and opened it up a little bit because the show or the stage is 6 feet wider on each side than it was over at Palazzo.
It's
so we just kind of had to open it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But and you know we had to tweak a few things. You know how it is when you're gone in this city for any amount of time. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. So and we were gone for almost 2 months. So it took us a minute to get back on our feet. But you know the crowds are still coming in, and the Paris is treating us great. Caesars is treating us great. Mm-hmm. So it's going great. Great is the word.
I know that we had a bunch of the other guys from the show in. Just about when you guys opened at the Paris, and they were saying that the biggest change for them is that the stairs became like the bane of their existence because of the fact that now you have to travel farther in the same amount of time and still do the stairs and sing at the same time. So it was kind of, that was the hardest adjustment.
It's a bit of an adjustment, you know, we're moving a lot more and that's where we get our exercise in the show. So now
you don't need to work out at all.
We just run up and down stairs all night long. So
I mean, it's like, the amount that you guys are moving around and how it's incredible how the scenery changes. We had on Jerry Mitchell, a famous Broadway producer, for those that don't know, Broadway producer and choreographer, director, everything. And we asked him about Broadway in Vegas on why some shows, Mamma Mia, Jersey Boys, why some shows have made it in this town and why some very critically acclaimed Broadway shows like Avenue Q and some even Chicago, other things have really not had as much success here. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was that, which is why he did this in Peep Show, is that when you have songs that everybody knows, that he believes that that's what makes it go in Vegas. Yeah. And I mean, obviously everyone knows Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Everyone knows the music there, just like Mamma Mia, everyone knew ABBA. And so do you feel that there's any kind of a correlation with that?
Yeah, I do. This is a tough city, you know, to introduce something like if you're trying to bring a dramatic piece because, you know, people come to Vegas and they just want to have a good time most of the time. Mm-hmm. And when you're giving them music that they already know, that they can sing along to a little bit, it kind of lessens the weight of the show. You know what I mean? Not that I'm saying that any way that the audiences can't handle a weight of the show, because our show's got, you know, some heavy issues in it.
Definitely,
But it also has some of the best music ever written.
Exactly. Everyone's always, you know, everyone's always singing along and stuff. But also, Jersey Boys is really the only Broadway show that I can remember coming in here where you kept the full show. So in other words, they didn't put it down to an hour and a half.
Exactly. When we first opened up, the producers and Bob and Frankie, the original guys, were very adamant about keeping the show as intact as possible. It's trimmed down just a tiny bit. I think we cut maybe 15 minutes off, but it's literally just a word here missing or a line here. Most of the time comes from the intermission in New York. You have like a 25-minute intermission. Here we only have an 8-minute break. So, but they were very, very adamant about keeping their music in the show and keeping their story told the way they wanted it told.
How are you feeling physically these days? You recovered from a really
I had some bad entertainment conditions. That was about a year ago. I hemorrhaged vocal cord
in the middle of the show. That's still a story that I tell people when they go to see Jersey Boys. I'm like, this vocal is so demanding. I tell your story all the time. Yeah. For those that didn't hear it the first time around, could you say what happened?
I was in the middle of the show and I had hemorrhaged a vocal cord. I wasn't feeling great for a while and I just tried to muscle through it, you know, and be the trooper instead of being a responsible guy and take some time off and just let my body do what it needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I hemorrhaged a vocal cord and was out of the show for almost a month. But I'm doing great now, man.
Yeah,
the voice
you sound terrific.
Is the last couple weeks at work, it's just been.
What's that mean, hemorrhaging a vocal cord exactly?
To get technical, you're basically cutting your vocal cord.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, because they.
And so what did you do?
The way they work is they just slam together over and over and over and over thousands of times to make your voice. Mm-hmm. And they have a thin membrane over them that underneath that. Just a blood vessel popped.
Yeah. It's like a dancer carrying it.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you do? I mean, when
I just had to do as best I could to get through the show.
But I mean, I can understand maybe if it's, you know, a normal role.
Yeah.
But I mean,
just speaking.
If you were just talking, maybe I could understand that. But as Frankie, the notes that you have to hit are ridiculous.
Let's just say I chose a few alternate notes that evening.
Suddenly, In the Still of the Night by Cole Porter made its way into the show. What is Travis doing up there?
It's remarkable
knowing how you can.
You would never notice it unless you knew.
Just got to sit back and take a breath and rely on your training and the way that you know your voice works, because it's a personal thing. A voice, you know, there's only one in the world like yours, and. You just got to trust yourself and try to do what you can do.
Wow, I just think that's such an incredible story. Yeah. And Katz wishes that I would get a hemorrhage vocal cord.
on this cabaret jazz thing, Travis, is this something you pretty much have to come in there and rent the room, lease the room out
to
them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're under a lot of pressure to
It's a lot of pressure, you know, to not only fill the room, but to put on a good show. But I'm very confident that this show is going to be great. You know, like I said, it's some great music, swinging band, and anybody that gets tickets to come see this is going to be in for one hell of a night.
If you really ring the bell here, sell it out, make money, you know, pay everybody, is this something that you would want to, you know, have at least in principle a recurring
absolutely
presence at the
cabaret jazz? I love doing this kind of stuff, you know. This is any chance I can get out to be myself on stage it's just a lot of fun, because I don't get to do it that often because I'm so tied up with Jersey Boys right now. And any chance to sing this great music, to be with this great band, it's a lot of fun, and it's one of my true loves.
Are you still writing?
Absolutely.
How does that process work for you? Because you don't have a whole lot of spare time.
I don't have a whole lot of spare time.
With Andy rehearsing in the other room.
She's very good about listening to me play the guitar, which is cool. She really digs that, and of course she's
Get her to write a review.
And she's an endless pool of inspiration herself.
Oh, sure. So, you know. Oh, my gosh. Oh, she's beautiful.
Endless pool. I like that. Mm-hmm. Endless pool. Are you guys going to want to stay? Could you see raising your family and raising her and being here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, totally. Right now.
Had that conversation?
Yeah, we did. We actually just talked a little bit about it last night. My wife and I are celebrating our 5-year anniversary
today. Oh.
Jen, she's in Peep Show. Jerry
Mitchell's
Peep Show. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
We hung out at a Peep Show party at the.
Yeah.
I saw you at the Peep Show Coco's opening.
My wife was in the show.
I didn't know. Let's plug your wife. What does she do?
She is one of the dancers in the show. She's awesome. She's hot. She's talented. She can dance her little buns off. Mm-hmm. So.
Random sighting. I was invited to a little post show party for Peep Show at Pure a few weeks ago. And. Travis,
there I am.
Out.
He's like, "What the heck are you doing here?
What are we doing in this place?"
You know, that's how we roll.
You guys are like serious. You guys are the ballers of Vegas.
No,
but
yeah, we love Las Vegas. Las Vegas has given us so much, and it's turned out. We didn't really know how it was going to be when we came here, but it's turned out to be a really, really big blessing. So,
well, we're glad you're here.
We can only wish you. You know, great success with the big show.
And we will
be
there.
Cool.
And February 4th, It's a 7 p.m. start.
That's it.
Cabaret Jazz. It's Travis Klor in a burning band.
That's
Check
right.
it out if you're in town.